Welcome, everybody, and welcome to the first episode of the Future of Money podcast. I'm your host, Henry Arslanian, and today we're going to have a lot of fun, with this first episode of this podcast. Again, by way of recap, the goal that I have with launching this new podcast, The Future of Money, is very, very simple. Is I want to go deep in some of the biggest ideas, trends, and developments that we're seeing in the field of crypto, and hopefully empower you with this information, and then let you make your own decision on what you think the impact will be on the future of money and on the future of finance. And to do this, every week I'll invite one of the leading figures of the global crypto community to have a one-on-one conversation among crypto aficionados to discuss some of these topics. And my guest today is someone that I've known for many years, both personally, but also professionally, the CEO of Crypto.com, Chris Marzlak. Chris, great to have you with us today on the Future Money podcast.
So happy to be here. Thanks for having me, honey.
Chris, a random question. What does Marzlak mean? I know it's a Polish name, but does it have a meaning?
If you just translate directly to English, that's Marshall. So like Field Marshal, for example.
Oh, really?
The original meaning is like some high-level army official in the old days in Poland.
My God. You see, that's where probably your disciplined approach to business comes from, probably, you know? Crypto.com, what I love about you guys, your motto, your mission is to accelerate the world's transition to cryptocurrency, which, by the way, I think is incredible. I think what you've done, you guys have 900 employees right now, 10 million users, 90 supported countries. And you obviously, you have a whole range of offerings from the buy and sell, where people can buy more than 100 cryptocurrencies with over 20 currencies. You have an earn offering, where people are able to get some yield on their crypto credit. They're able to borrow with up to 50% of their crypto collateral. Obviously, you have the pay offering, where people can allow you to pay and get paid using crypto. You have even the metal Visa cards, where clients are able to get up to 8% back on their purchases. And I think you recently launched your NFT platform, which we'll definitely talk about it today. So, man, a lot of big offerings you guys have right now. I mean, it's quite a big business you've built, Chris. I think you must be proud of what you've accomplished in the last couple of years.
Well, the team has been pushing very hard, and all credit goes to them. And we think that we're doing meaningful work because essentially, it's all about giving people their fundamental rights back, their right to control their money, their data, and their identity. And we are building a whole spectrum of product that will drive global adoption of crypto and hopefully help accelerate it a little bit. And the best way to do it is to build things that are useful to people and make their lives a little bit better so that, you onboard 1 million people and they tell their friends, and you get to 10 million people, they tell their friends, and then eventually you hit 100 million, which is our internal goal for end of next year.
So you're at 10 million now, you want to get to 100 million by the end of next year. That's incredible. How is actually your client adoption happening? Is it really friends of friends? I mean, I'm sure you guys looked at how new clients are coming into the platform.
Word of mouth is the key driver. But obviously, the overall market environment has helped a lot to accelerate things. And the growth has been incredible. I think, the numbers are just astounding. So originally, we're probably about 2 years ahead of our original schedule of the build-out of user base in the company. We just crossed 1,000 people. We're scaling to 3,000 right now in the next 12 months. So that's there's a very broad product portfolio. So we're organizing ourselves to maintain high speed as we have such an ambitious roadmap. So these are exciting times.
Oh, I think that's very well. We're going to talk about the market as well. I think one thing as well about you people often are not familiar, I think, Chris, is actually, obviously, you have this is not your first venture, your first rodeo, as we like to say. I mean, I think just give it a bit of background to the audience. Of course, you're born in Poland. You start working in the Consumer Electronics Design Studio. And obviously, subsequently, you're the co-founder and CEO of a company called Be Crazy that became a leading e-commerce business in Hong Kong, that you sold it for the Australian listed company for $21 million. That company also then became rebranded to Insogo and obviously ended up with over $150 million in gross turnover. Again, listed company as well, before you set up Crypto.com in 2016. I mean, you must see a lot of similarities between the other consumer and e-commerce businesses and what you're seeing right now in crypto, I'm sure.
Yeah, so I've been building companies my entire life for almost 20 years now. There were some small successes along the way, and also that I have some battle scars, like the e-commerce uh, 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 you know, I was running an e-commerce turnaround after I sold my company, which ultimately failed. But what I found out is actually, you know, you tend to learn more from your failures, and you incorporate these learnings, pick up, you know, dust off, and just start building again. So this is my fourth company now that I started, and I've put all that I've learned throughout my life into building this, and things that I'm quite happy with. Yeah, there are a lot of similarities between different industries. Things I'm most happy with is that we've done a good, pretty good work in terms of building a very strong culture. So now, as we're scaling the business, the fact that, you know, that we have strong sense of ownership and, you know, people play nicely together very well as a team, these things really matter as you try to scale the business, because it's just there's strong foundation on top of what you're building. You know, there, you know, you can. I've been doing technology startups my whole life, so you can always pick the different learnings from different areas, right? And how do you manage engineering teams? How do you scale you know, your user base? How do you scale the backbone of the company? Like, you know, we've seen such tremendous growth. Like, how do you keep your customers happy as you grow, right? I mean, these experiences help a lot.
But, you know, actually, Chris, actually, on this point, I speak to a lot of the CEOs of crypto companies. They tell me one of the biggest challenges they have right now is actually hiring, is finding people they can actually hire that have some even basic crypto knowledge or interest or can operate in the fast-moving space that is crypto. Do you think finding and hiring and retaining employees as a crypto company is more difficult than in traditional industries?
I actually think it's much easier now than it was a couple of years ago. You know, if you look at people who are working right now in other startups or traditional financial services, they all want to jump into crypto. Yes, yeah. They don't have knowledge, but some of them, they're quite capable, right? So there's an inflow of talent into the marketplace. And it goes in cycles. We've seen the same in 2017 and then cooled down 2018 during the bear market. Now it picked up again. So there's a huge, huge shift and brain drain from traditional finance and tech coming into crypto, and these guys are going to be the fuel. You know, they're going to be bringing new ideas and building new products that will drive the next cycle, which eventually is going to come. Now, in terms of retention, there's obviously a huge competition for talent, right? So, for us, from day one, we made sure that every single employee in the company is an equity holder and token holder, that the interests are aligned. You know, we have strong culture. Most of our hiring still comes through referrals, so personal referrals. Everybody's a recruiter. So the team works together very closely. It's a tightly knit group of people who understand that they're working on stuff. They have a chance to change the world. People don't really jump off a rocket ship. Yeah. I don't know if you remember, you know, Sam Altman always says that your number one career advice is to join a company on a breakout trajectory. I mean, by definition, this is us. We are one of the, if not the fastest growing company in a very fast growing industry. So, the kind of talent that is applying is just astounding.
Actually, on the company growth as well, one thing I think you make a lot of people envious is the name. Of course, you guys rebranded the company a couple of years ago from MonacoCrypto.com. Right. I don't know how much you can disclose about how this happened, getting the Crypto.com name, and how did the process go? Because I'm sure it was not an easy feat. And also, I'm sure a lot of people would have loved to put their hands on that Crypto.com name.
Right. And there are probably a couple hundred people who tried before we managed to pull this one off. At least that's what the previous owner told me. So it's, as with everything, it begins with an idea, right? For me, typically I have those kind of crazy ideas when I'm taking a shower. So then I just get out of the shower and then I type in crypto.com. Okay. There was a warning about cryptocurrency, right? Crypto stands for cryptography and not cryptocurrency. Do not invest in ICOs. That was what was there on the website. But, you know, I managed to, locate the owner, who was a cryptography professor, Matt Blaze, a very well-known figure in the cryptography industry. And you know, there are articles written about people trying to like find him at his at the university, calling his home, trying just like basically nagging him to sell it, and he was always very upset about it. But somehow we managed to find common ground. And it was a process. I have to admit, as you know, people from the academia tend to be very eccentric sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we always try to find a way to understand the concerns of the other side, allows you to bridge the gap and eventually come to an agreement. So I'm very happy with this.
Did you see him in person? Did you go physically see him?
No, I didn't. We did a few calls and of course a lot of correspondence. But it was not such a straightforward decision also, because we were a very small company at the time. The market fell off the cliff. So it was a big bet for us at the time, and it required conviction. And I think fundamentally in this industry, people who build with conviction during bear market are there to reap the benefits during the bull market cycle. And again, you know, the cyclical nature of this industry means that, you know, if you get big during the bull market, then you have an unfair advantage when the market cools off and, you know, there's consolidation, and you can keep, you basically reach escape velocity and you can keep building faster than the other guys. So I'm very happy with where we are right now.
That's amazing. Actually, I mean, talking about the market, actually, what's your view, Chris? I mean, where do you think we are in the market? If you look at the cycle, are we on the top? Are we still a lot to go? Because I know a lot of you, if your listeners are probably curious about that and your views on that.
Right. We are hitting all-time high stats every other week. So it's very hard to call the top in this industry. And generally speaking, being short in this type of strong market cycle is just a bad idea. The truth is that nobody knows. Certainly I don't. And I don't even try to guess. You know, I take a 10-year view. The whole industry is, you know, between 100 and 200 million users globally, right? So I think about, can we get to 3 billion in 2030? That's kind of my perspective. And if you think in this type of time frame, then it doesn't matter what the price does today.
Yeah, you're taking a very long-term view on the asset. But actually, talking about the short position, what's your view on Dogecoin? And obviously, we saw the saga and the hype with Elon Musk. By the time of recording, he was on Saturday Night Live last weekend. Obviously, the price has been a lot of volatility. You think Dogecoin is a positive for the industry, negative? What's your view on that?
I mean, it's Dogecoin, but now there's also 25 other meme coins, yeah, right? Because this industry just jumps on any bandwagon. There's a new bandwagon, there's immediately like 50 people doing the same thing, right? I think first and foremost, people need to understand that these assets, you know, they are extremely volatile, right? So you need to be cautious when you trade this. You need to be cautious. You need to know what you're doing. And, you know, I'm not a trader, so I'm not going to give any advice on this, but just be careful. That's my general piece of advice. it is what it is. I think it's a sign of times. You know, even in a traditional stock market, right? You've got this huge trend of retail trading, and you had this GME saga, right? And there's huge participation of retail during the coronavirus pandemic, and people, yep, sit at home, open the phone, and trade a lot. And it's a trend. You can't change this. This is the way market is going. The thing trades at whatever market says it's worth.
Go on with it. But let's see what happens, actually. I mean, the other thing I would obviously made a lot of interest right now is when the field of NFTs, right? I mean, at the beginning of the year, there was less than 25,000 people globally weekly users on NFT platforms. Now we're over 500,000. And I know that this is actually something, an area where crypto.com on NFTs, you guys have been focusing quite a lot. Very keen to get your views, Chris, on what do you think the NFTs, the future is? And also as a business, how do you intend to play in the NFT circle?
Right. So maybe first about why we entered the space. So I think this is something that is clearly aligned with our vision, cryptocurrency in every wallet, accelerating the world's transition to cryptocurrency. And you know, the first 100 million people came here to trade and to build their wealth. That was the primary use case. With NFTs, you have a very unique opportunity for artists, athletes, celebrities, you know, singers to express themselves creatively through a new medium and give their fans new experience, new ways to support them, to participate. So I think it plays a role in onboarding the next couple hundred million people into this industry. Obviously, there's this hype cycle. So, you know, in Q1, it was super hyped up. Now it cooled off. But from business perspective, the fundamentals of the NFT industry are very strong. And like with anything, I try to extrapolate this a couple of years down the road, where it's going to lead. So we believe in a future where, you have much more functionality with the NFT that you have today. You can, let's say, you know, you buy, let's say you buy a pair of shoes, right? You will receive an NFT with a digital version of it. And then, when you have your avatar in the metaverse, and there's going to be plenty of social networks and metaverses that where you have your virtual self, you can wear it and people can see it. And you can trade it freely within these metaverses. So I think the ultimate playground for the NFT space is the metaverse. And, you know, we've got a bit of gray hair already, both of us. And perhaps we don't get it, but, you know, there are companies in Korea that are building this stuff, and the engagement is just huge. And I actually think that the next Facebook is going to come out of this. And then, you know, if you have a convergence of technologies, everybody's got a very powerful GPU in their mobile phone today. With blockchain, you can have this, you know, proof of authenticity and you know, an easy value exchange. So you marry the two, you've got an immersive experience with the value exchange. And on top of this, you know, if you go down 5-7 years later, VR is going to catch up. So again, you're going to upgrade these experiences. So it's going to be very, very powerful. So that's why we're in it. We're in it not for the 1 month hype, but for the long term. We are building a product, improving it every day. We are learning. We are onboarding a lot of cool brands, artists. You know, we've just announced this week we're working with Serie A on NFTs for Coppa Italia. You know, we've done Aston Martin F1 team. There is so much more in the pipeline. It's going to help us mainstream the industry and create these new experiences. So we are going to be continuously building for the next couple of years in the NFT space. But at the same time, we're a very active investor from Crypto.com Capital, a venture arm. We've made probably six or seven NFT-related investments. A company called Genies, for example, is doing avatars with people like Gucci and a bunch of other artists. The lead on that was Mary Meeker, and we participated in the round. We've invested, I can't talk about these because I'm not announced, but we invested some other deals, which are super cool. And there's a convergence of AI and NFTs, which creates some super cool experiences. So we are building, we're investing, we are in it for a long term.
So it's interesting you're saying that the next Facebook could come at you from the NFT world. I mean, how big do you think the NFT world could be? Do you think it's going to be as big as the, let's say, traditional crypto space? I mean, how big, or it actually goes beyond the asset class in a way?
Yeah, I think it's bigger than that. NFTs are going to be a part of the metaverse. So the metaverse and the social aspect of it is going to be definitely bigger than crypto space, or the biggest part of crypto space. It's just normal, like, you know, if you think about, you know, the size of social networks today versus the size of, you know, even people having bank accounts, right? It's obviously social networks are always the biggest. So it's going to be the same story here.
It's going to be super. I think it's very interesting to see how this is all taking place. I have to say one thing that impressed me, which you guys, was how bold you were. I mean, you mentioned before some of the things that you'd be doing with the on the football side or soccer world. It would be done with Aston Martin on the Formula One side. I have to say I'm from Montreal, Canada, and I'm a big fan of the Montreal Canadiens. And now there's a Crypto.com logo on the ice of the Habs, which I think quite incredible. I mean, on the marketing side, actually, Chris, just on that point, you mentioned the 10 million clients that you guys have, and it's obviously your goal is to reach 100 million clients. I've been quite, one thing that's been very impressive with you guys is, I think compared to other of your peers, is how much out there you guys are. Like on the B2C side, the marketing and, you know, like Austin Martin partnerships, Montreal Canadiens and the stuff. How important is it on a marketing side? And do you think crypto companies get marketing so far?
Some do. There are some really bright people in this space who understand the culture and react quickly when it moves. So there are some pretty smart people out there. Look, I mean, this is our mission, right? We're all about mainstreaming crypto and letting people know about it. And I'm not a huge believer in, you know, build it and they will come. You build it and they don't know, so they will not come. So we need to let people know. And it's so there's, if we look at the culture that we're building at the company, one of our core values is remain humble. But we have another value, which is, you know, we make big, bold moves, things that have not been done before. So there's this juxtaposition here. Like, for example, for the Aston Martin deal, we were very happy with the outcome, but we debated it a lot internally because it makes sense. It's the same, I mean, the same kind of the crowd that is into crypto. It's like tech, speed, you know, it's people love it. Aston Martin also, you know, it's an iconic brand. So aligning, we follow the same design principles. So there was a lot going for it, right? But we thought, is this too flashy, right? It's just not how we operate. But in the end, we decided to go ahead with it because it's the right thing to do for the company, also for the industry, and for it brings us closer to fulfilling our mission.
Yeah, very, very interesting from that perspective. Well, Chris, we're just going to take a short break right now to thank the sponsors who make the show possible. And we will be right back. I'm here with Chris Marzalak, the CEO of Crypto.com. This episode is brought to you by ACX Customer Support. ACX enables crypto platforms to offer 24/7 customer support to their clients in multiple languages, from English and Russian to French and Arabic. ACX is 100% focused on the crypto industry with 100% of customer support agents trading crypto. ACX enables crypto platforms to offer customer support using actual humans that are knowledgeable on crypto. You're looking at improving the customer support experience of your clients? ACX can help. Check them out at acxinternational.com. Okay, we're back here. I'm with Chris Marzalak, the CEO of Crypto.com, talking about the industry and really some of the big developments going on. Chris, I wanted to ask you, what is the one competitor that you fear the most? If there's one company in crypto you believe right now is really up to on the right track and you believe can really kind of be a... Who are you looking in the back of your mirror, for example, right now?
I think it's a huge mistake to focus on competition, especially in such a rapidly growing industry when there is no fixed size of the cake. You know, our biggest enemy is just ourselves and our own capability. Like, can we execute on this faster? How do we organize ourselves better? How do we serve our customers better? How can we build better products for our customers? So there's a lot of value in being focused on the customer and making sure that the company operates in a way that supports doing the right thing for the customers. And yeah, again, there's always this very long-term view, right? Competitors come and go, you know. I think it's very hard to have true impact on the world if you're only reason of being is I want to beat this guy. This doesn't inspire anybody.
Yeah.
And you know, when you recruit people at a certain level, they want impact. They all have, you know, plenty of job offers. You know, everybody is well paid and whatever. They want to have an impact. They want to make sure they're doing something meaningful. You need to be mission focused. You can't focus on competitors. If you just focus on competitors, by definition, you're following. You are not leading. And you can't win if you follow. You can only win if you lead. So that's kind of how I think about broadly. But obviously, I mean, the level of talent, by the way, the level of talent in this industry is just outstanding. Like, if you
on
see...
On a positive way.
I mean, on a positive... If you, I mean, I've been building companies my whole life, right? And you know, I've done some traditional stuff, you know, kind of more offline brick and mortar. Then I've done a software startup, an e-commerce startup. Like, so if you go from like a regular startup to internet startup, you kind of go, speed goes up by an order of magnitude. You go from an internet startup to a crypto startup, there's another order of magnitude increase in speed at which things change and people move. So it's just like I always say, it's like drinking from a fire hose.
Yeah.
It's insane. So I think there's just so much. It's quite cool to see how people move and how they play. And if you enjoy this type of five-dimensional chess, this is definitely a great place to be. I don't know if you remember, but you know, you asked me during one of the conferences a few years ago, what do I do if I didn't do crypto? I'm like,
I was going to bring this up. I was right? going to bring it up. It's, yeah.
Crypto for life. I mean, this is, you can't do anything else because in this space, you will really feel alive. And this exactly. is something that very, very few opportunities out there can give you.
You know, Chris, it's funny you mentioned this. I was actually, as we're preparing for the question I was going to ask you today, this is actually something I wanted to bring up. I will never forget, maybe for the benefit of our audience, this was maybe 2017 or 16, 17. And I was on stage, probably 17 actually. I was on stage with Chris in Hong Kong. And I was moderating a panel, very similar to this, but on with a live stage. And I asked a question, like I will do today at the end of this podcast as well. And I asked Chris, what would you do if you're not in crypto? And he stopped for 2-3 seconds. And you paused and you're like, no, it's crypto for life. And I will never forget that moment. You know, I moderated hundreds of panels over the years, but that moment I will never forget. It's that passion. And is that something you look for people? Because you're right. I think in hiring in this space, I think everybody, probably most of our listeners today as well, we fell into this rabbit hole, right? And is this something that you look for when you hire? Actually, what do you look for when you're hiring an executive right now? Is this, you're looking for passion? You're looking for something else? What is it?
The first thing we look for when we hire is clarity of thinking. Clarity of thought is the unifying factor. If you think about anybody who is successful in any field, they're very clear thinkers. It doesn't matter if you're an MMA fighter or a scientist or a rocket scientist or entrepreneur. People are very crisp. They articulate their thoughts well. They understand from first principles what drives change, what is the playing field. So if you don't know what matters and what not, then it's yep. like, what's the point?
Clear thinking. Very good point.
Yeah. So that's number one. And once we establish that that the person has that trait, and we figure out we spend a lot of time during the interviews to figure out how do you actually think. And once we establish this is tick the box is ticked, then it's all about the cultural fit. So you know, we don't tolerate people who, you have to leave your ego at the door, right? We think that we can accomplish so much more as a team than as an individual. So high performance, high speed, very high bar for quality of delivery, but you need to remain nice. And that's the other thing. And the sense of ownership is also one of our core values, right? So you need to, people who typically do very well at crypto.com, they love to be given a general direction and full independence to come up with a plan, build a team, execute to completion. And we give people this freedom and this independence, and we resource them like they would, you know, they're resourced like at a large corporate, but they're operating frequently a startup within a startup that crypto.com is. And this, to work like this, you need to have the sense of ownership. So then it's all about getting a critical mass of people who have these three traits: clarity of thought, you know, the cultural fit from the point of like team play, and the sense of ownership. And then people set a certain bar. And you know, if you see that guy over there delivering like hell, then you don't want to be like here, right? Right, it raises the level, and there's this this peer, the peers set the level of quality of excellence in terms of execution. So it's not like coming from me, right? It's not like Chris saying, oh, we, this, I mean, it's the team. And it's quite funny, you know, because of all this like hype in the market, you know, we're approached by so many investment banks, right, and whatnot. And we're not fundraising, we're not IPOing, but out of courtesy, we're going to do some calls. And then after the calls, I mean, people from the banks apply for jobs, like top institutions.
Yeah,
but very frequently, unfortunately, they don't meet the bar.
That's interesting. Huh? We're actually, and I think you're right, to perform in the race. It's a bit like Formula One, right? It's only you need to make the cut, right? Which is more difficult. But actually, you raised the point. You're talking about investment banks and potential investor talking to. What is the exit? I mean, how do you see the vision of crypto.com? Do you think it'll be a public listed company? Do you think it'll be acquired? Do you think you'll be continuing? Like, how do you see the 10-year? What do you think crypto.com will be in 10 years? Let's put it that way.
Right. So, first of all, I think we're already too big to be acquired.
Yeah.
I just don't see. And by the way, you know, even if just talk about size, right? So Coinbase is trading about 50-60 billion, right? We are about, you know, a quarter of the size in terms of like business metrics, but we're growing much faster, and we think we'll continue taking market share and growing fast. So, you know, even if somebody rolls up with a check, or here is 10 billion or 20 billion, we will just say no. What's the point? There's no point. And I think that the future of the company, I mean, I run a public listed company. It's not fun, just for the record. I am not looking forward to it. But at certain stage, you have to do it. Because number one, the team has worked now 5 years by the time we IPO, and 7, 8, or God knows, right, how many years, and the outcome is important for them. So that's number one. And it allows you to continue attracting top talent and retaining the talent that you have. And number two, if done correctly, being a public listed company results in you actually operating the business in a more disciplined manner. You can deliver actually better performance if done correctly. If you have everything that you need to resist the quarter-to-quarter pressures, right? And this is key for me, because before we actually list, I want to make sure the business is in a position where we don't care about the results in Q1 or Q2 this year, because this is already kind of baked in, and now we're working on Q1, Q2, 2 years down the road. So it requires a certain, you know, level of preparation, and you need to be solid before you list. So that's kind of how I think about it.
You know, you mentioned, Chris, about this being solid, right? I'm obviously at the organization level as well, but as personally as well. I think one thing I've been really admired with crypto.com over the last couple of years is, first of all, you guys ship products all the time. I think the level of execution you have is actually quite remarkable. But also, I think as an individual, you know, personally, I've always admired your discipline. I remember it was a couple of years ago, you told me, I never forget this, you know, it was you don't even have lunch. You have the lunch delivered and you have meetings throughout the day with this lunch delivered. I mean, how have you been dealing on a disciplined perspective? Because I'm sure the levels of responsibilities you have are actually quite enormous.
Yeah, I actually don't like the word discipline, and I don't consider myself a disciplined person. but I would use the word focus. I live a very focused lifestyle. It's just it's family and it's the company. And there's no space for anything else. I managed to squeeze 2 hours per week to the gym, and that's pretty much it. So being focused helps. And I think actually having a family, because, you know, I've been building companies in my 20s, right, when I had no responsibilities. And I actually think that after you get kids and whatnot, it allows you to become better at company building because, you know, you have certain commitments you can't miss. So that means, okay, if I have 30 minutes, you know, I'm not going to look at my phone or Facebook, right? It's like everything is, it has to be planned and you need to have this focus. And you the family is giving you this foundation, this anchor, you're well anchored. That's where you can be solid. I think without family, it's quite hard, actually.
And anything else you do that, you know, because you asked, but I mean, do you meditate? Apart, you mentioned you go to the gym, but anything else you found has been really helping you out on that being focused element?
Pumping iron. It's my meditation. So just like really, I highly encourage everybody to do weight training with a PT. That's just like the highest ROI you can get on an hour you can in a week. It's just phenomenal.
Really? So it's a personal trainer.
It doesn't show, right? But I've only been doing this for a while. So maybe if we catch up in 3 years' time, it's going to look differently.
Well, that's amazing. Well, Chris, I want to talk about a couple of things about the macro landscape of the industry, right? I think many people will know crypto.com is via your, like, you know, the Visa card, right? That is now, I was actually watching the other day a 60 minutes documentary of somebody in Australia, and they're making a payment in crypto using that to the crypto.com card, which I found quite interesting. I mean, what obviously for a lot of payment companies, like company like crypto.com, I can just imagine the behind the scenes conversation over the years with all these credit card companies and all these checks that went on. But of course, you know, also what happened with Wirecard as well a couple of months ago, where I think a lot of credit card companies before were asking a lot of crypto companies to go via intermediaries like Wirecard. And we all saw what happened with Wirecard. They actually got into trouble. And now actually we're seeing actually crypto companies like Visa and MasterCard and the likes deal directly with crypto companies. I mean, this must have been a very interesting journey for you how to see your relationship with Visa change over the years. And I presume they become more comfortable with crypto as well. Is that something that has surprised you, you're expecting, or you think it was just meant to be?
Well, I think, first of all, it took many years. I think we had the first meeting in 2016 to talk about this, the crypto debit card product idea. And this was our first product. And I think that the shift happened much faster than we originally anticipated. So for years, we were just building this from kind of bottom up. You know, you start with a relation manager, then you eventually go to country level, and then, you know, there's a regional program. And then in 2017, it was very hard to get anything approved. It had to go all the way to, like, the president's office, right? So it's a huge machine, right? $500 billion market cap corporate, very protective of their brand being one of their major assets. So it took a lot of time, and we had to prove that, you know, that we know how to run this responsibly in line with all the laws and regulations and rules in order to keep their brand safe. And they want to keep some sort of distance from the crypto space because of the perceived risks associated with it. And over time, you know, again and again, we started with launching our program in Singapore, and we launched in the US, in Europe, in Canada. And over time, you know, we were a good partner in terms of like helping these guys understand the space and demonstrating through our actions and how we build up this business. We know how to do it properly. We run a tight shop. And today, you know, it's crypto.com is by far the largest crypto debit card brand in the world by any metric. It's growing like crazy. And just last month, we've announced this world first where we actually settled to Visa in USDC. I mean, that is just a huge signal to any financial institution out there that we need to put crypto on our roadmap. We need to be in this space. What do we do about this? If Visa is doing, we have to be doing this. And, you know, and what follows, like, you know, PayPal announcements, MasterCard announcements, and everybody's getting into it, right? So the importance of that announcement is not only that, you know, okay, we settled, it's just a part of the food chain, we made a settlement. It's not about that. It's about the signal that it sends and the kind of credibility that it brings to the market. And it's, it's great to look back at those early meetings, which were like, it's hard to even get a meeting and you're just kind of, you're a guy with an idea on a piece of paper, right? And you know, just in the last earnings call for Visa, the CEO mentioned us twice. And when we signed a global alliance partnership with them, they sent us a very cool video with like all the Olympians, a video that was, the target audience was our team, right? Welcome to Visa family, spoken by all the Olympians that Visa supports, right? It's very, very, very classy. And the relationship, you know, it took years to build. That's, you know, everything that is good takes time to build.
That's awesome, Chris. Well, Chris, what we're going to do right now, we're going to go through a fire round of questions. I have my bell with me that joins me everywhere in the world. And what we're going to do, we're going to do a couple of quick questions, you know, for ask you the question with the bell. And then it's, you know, quick answers, fire round questions. And we're going to take it from there. So are you ready?
Yep, let's do it.
Here we go. So, Chris, what is keeping you up at night these days?
Keeping up with the speed of growth. how do you serve those so many customers? I mean, it's just insane. It's been insane.
Other question: if you could recommend one course for any of the students who are listening to the show today, what is the one course you think any university student should take today?
Learn how to code.
There you go. Who is the one person in crypto you admire the most? Not Satoshi. Who is the one right now founder of a CEO of a crypto company you admire the most?
There's too many. There's too many bright people in this space. I don't want to point at the names because then the other guys are going to call me. But there's quite a number of smart people here.
Fair enough. Let me ask you a different way. Tomorrow morning, you have the chance to launch a new crypto startup. And you have the choice between these four co-founders: Jack Ma, Mark Zuckerberg, Kim Kardashian, and Elon Musk. Who will you choose?
There's no question. It must be Elon, right?
Elon.
He's the greatest. And think about this. I actually think that there's a good chance that Elon is going to launch a cryptocurrency. Because, you know, if you think about it, he's been into Bitcoin and Doge. He understands it. Comparing to sending people to Mars, launching cryptocurrency is trivial for a person like Elon. And he wants impact, right? What's a better way to have impact than making everybody get their salary paid in Elons?
The Elon, you go, if it happens one day, you predicted it here, Chris. So let's see how that evolves. You know? Exactly. Another one. So let's actually talk about coins. And what is the one cryptocurrency outside of Bitcoin and Ethereum, and of course, outside of the crypto.com coin, that you're the most, you really find very interesting or you think you're very bullish on, outside of BTC at or crypto.com coin?
None.
So that's it. Bitcoin at the crypto.com. That's the portfolio.
Good enough.
Okay, let's continue. So actually, another one. Interesting one. If you could have lunch today with one person, dead or alive, who would it be? Well, lunch with one person, dead or alive, who would it be?
Alexander Hamilton.
Wow. Why is that?
I always try to look for people's trajectory, right? Where do you start and where do you end as the measure of ability? I mean, this guy started from like middle of nowhere as an orphan and ended up at the top of the government doing some really cool stuff. So there must be a super powerful brain there.
Here you go, man. Hamilton, that's a good answer. Actually, I haven't a very, very good one. And actually, we'll finish it off with this one. Your price prediction of December 31st of this year, price of Bitcoin, and in 5 years, what would be your price prediction?
I don't do price predictions. I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, I've been wrong too many times to do that. I will say this, higher than today.
There you go. That's the wise word on that side. Well, Chris, thank you very much for having me. It was a pleasure to have you on the Future Money podcast. One question for you. If people want to follow you, learn more about crypto.com, where can they go and how can they follow you?
Twitter is the best. The whole crypto community is on Twitter. So @crypto.com or @Chris_HK.
Chris_HKFC. Actually, on Twitter, do you do all the tweets yourself? I mean, you're quite a lot on Twitter. I mean, I follow you, and I think you create content there.
Yeah, I do. I do. I wish I had more time than I currently have to do Twitter. And you know, these days, even I can't even scroll enough through my DMs. It's just the backlog is too high. So it's the best worst product in the world, I think, because it's got so many bad things going about it, but you still keep on using it, and there's nothing better.
Absolutely. Well, Chris, thank you very much. It was great to have you with us today. Again, thank you very much, everybody, for listening. This was the episode of the Future of Money podcast with I'm your host, your Henry Arslanian. By the way, if you like the show, make sure to subscribe to this podcast. They'll be released on a weekly basis. But also, if you like the podcast, you like some of the other content that we have. For example, my YouTube page, we're on it. You have not only a lot of educational content, but you'll have actually this podcast on a video format and many excerpts of it. And by the way, we just announced recently that all my video content will be available not only in English, but also in French, Arabic, and Chinese. So really trying to empower the next billion when it comes to the future of money. And also, if you like this, you'll like a lot of the content that I post on LinkedIn. I have my weekly 60-second show where I summarize the weekly developments happening in the crypto space, and also my Sunday long read called The Future of Money, where we discuss a lot of these big ideas. You can subscribe on these directly on my LinkedIn, or you can go on my website, henryarslanian.com. Thank you very much, everybody, for today, for joining us on this episode of the Future of Money podcast. And thank you very much, Chris, for being with us today, and see you all next time.